Welcome back to the Project Happy Place podcast. I am so excited to have my next guest here and for you to listen to their story. Justin Skisuk and Patrick Gray have been blessed with a unique friendship that spans over 46 years. They were actually born 36 hours apart, and I still have yet to find out who is the oldest, but I digress. Despite the many challenges of a progressive neuromuscular disease robbing Justin of the use of his arms and legs, the two seek to live life without reservation. Their friendship has taken them on many adventures together, and most notably, their 500-mile wheelchair journey across the vast terrain of northern Spain on the Camino de Santiago. As best-selling authors and highly sought-after keynote speakers, Justin and Patrick use their life, work experiences, and adventures as backdrops to which they explore concepts such as leadership, teamwork, relationships, and the power of the human collective. They have been featured on many news media outlets, and their documentary, I'll Push You, which has won a number of awards, including the Heartland, Newport Beach, American Independence, and Sedona Film Festival Awards in 2017. It is available to watch on Amazon Prime and Apple TV. And without further ado, I would like to welcome Justin and Patrick to the podcast. So I want to welcome everyone back to the Project Happy Place podcast. I started this a year ago, and it's been a really wonderful journey to reconnect with people that I've worked with in the past. And two of those wonderful individuals are Patrick Gray and Justin Skisuk. So I had the pleasure of working with them at a global sales meeting in 2018, which seems like ages ago because COVID has made everything feel like multipliers. But I just wanted to welcome you both here and to, you know, go back in time to 2018. So you were at our global sales meeting and you were there speaking about your journey. And I feel as though I'm your biggest fan because I have the book right in front of me, I'll Push You. And you even signed it. So I have proof here.
Hey, look at that. It's legit.
So welcome to the Project Happy Place podcast. And for those familiar, I want to just set the stage and give them an intro onto the I'll Push You movement that you guys started a couple years ago. So who wants to take this one? I feel like Justin's ready.
Yeah, it's probably going to be me kicking that off. So, I mean, it's a quick nutshell. Pat and I have known each other our whole lives. We've been born 36 hours apart, same hospital, born in Eastern Oregon. Our moms knew each other, parents knew each other. So we hasn't been a time where we haven't really known each other. And when I was 16, I was diagnosed with I was in a car accident that triggered a progressive neuromuscular disease in my body. And it's very similar to ALS or Lou Gehrig's disease. And now I live life in a wheelchair every day of my life. So in case you can't see me, I'm in a wheelchair. And makes life challenging, of course. I am unable to walk and I have to be helped in many aspects of my life. And I'm getting to the point in a minute there, Jane. But yeah, just to give the listeners some context, that I just have to be helped in every aspect of my life, from eating to bathing, bathroom, showering, almost every aspect. And it's makes life quite interesting. But throughout all of like my life, and also, you know, Pat and I growing up together, we've always done really fun stuff. We love hanging out with one another. We like to, you know, we're really kind of two idiots if you really get to know us. but in 2012 was the idea. I had the idea of doing what's called the Camino de Santiago. It's a 500-mile pilgrimage across northern Spain. And I asked Pat if he wanted to do it with me because we were looking for something to do. And he was gullible enough to say, yes, I'll push you. That's the birth of everything. And that's how it all kind of began. I learned about it from a PBS episode I was watching from Rick Steves, Europe. And I love him. He's a, I've always loved traveling and just exploring the world. And that's how I was exposed to the journey. And then I just, you know, Pat and I said, hey, let's do this thing together. And that was really kind of the birth of it all. Am I missing anything, Pat? No?
No.
I kind of ran through that very quickly, but yeah,
I know. It's like, how do we tell that story? I mean, how long was the documentary? We could just, that should be the homework. Well,
The documentary was 90 minutes, but that came from 600 hours of footage. Mm. So there was a lot captured on film. But when you're traveling 500 miles across Spain with a wheelchair, there's bound to be some good stories and a lot of pretty awesome experiences as people step up to help out.
Yeah, and I think
in various ways,
Resonated so much with me and the audience is your story of friendship and your perseverance. So I think that, I mean, Justin, we're not good friends yet, but hopefully one day we will be. But you just exude this beautiful energy and happiness. And I am curious to know, like, if you look back at your life before your diagnosis and, you know, having to be in a wheelchair and be helped all the time, what your life was like before and after. Because before, would you have ever even considered doing a 500 mile hike across Spain?
To answer your question, no. I never would have considered doing something like this. And I mean, I've always said I'm the kind of guy, like, you're in San Diego. So I lived in San Diego for almost 21 years. My wife was born and raised in San Diego. So I love the beach. Like, that's like my thing. I'm happy sitting on a beach with a margarita or whatever, but, you know, trekking across 500 miles, is a whole nother thing. Pat's way more adventurous than I am on that front. But, you know, as far as before and after, I don't really look at it that way. I don't look at it as like, okay, my life before I had a disability and my life after I had a disability. Like one is kind of better than the other. I've always looked at my own journey as just a journey, right? It's, you know, you have good and bad moments, whether you're disabled or not. Mm. And, you know, it's just life.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've been dealt with the cards that I have, and I imagine other people listening to this, and, you know, you, Jane, and I know Pat as well, just, we all have our own challenges in our lives, and mine just happens to be mostly physical. So I just look at it as, okay, well, if this is the life that I have, then how do I make the best of it? And I've been very fortunate to have Patrick in my life from day one. And, you know, we have just navigated it together. Wow, that is a mouthful. And, you know, we laugh a lot, and we go through that, you know, we live life together, and I do my best to support him as well. It's not a one-way street, it's a two-way street. And we treat our friendship very much like a marriage would be. And we communicate, we have days where we might want to strangle one another, and we have days where we love each other very deeply and have a lot of laughter and great times. And so everything in between. So I just never look at it as like before and after. I just look at it as, okay, well, this is the life that I have. Let's make the best of it. So.
Yeah, and I know, I feel like people refer to that as like chapters of their life or seasons of their life. You know, you're like, oh, this is going to be a hard one. And having those people in your life that can help support you and the tools in your life to kind of like figure out how to get through both the challenging times and the times where you're feeling a little bit stronger. And I did not realize that this journey started 10 years ago. So you're celebrating the 10-year anniversary.
I know, it's crazy.
Much.
It took a while. I mean, it took a while obviously to the journey, and then the documentary took about a year and a half for that to be made. So there's a gap between when we did it and when the movie came out and the book and when that came out too, because, you know, we'd already done it, but then you have to edit and do all that. We're not going to go into all the details. But
that's another course.
That's a whole nother. Whole another podcast.
Yeah. Yeah.
So the moment where you watch the documentary and then you ask Patrick, like, okay, I want you to do this with me. And as I recall, there was not a moment of hesitation from you.
No.
Patrick, is that true?
No. Yeah, it's true. There's no hesitation. And people often ask, well, there's a number of questions that come up at that moment. You know, I mean, you think about a 500-mile trek with a wheelchair, just the sheer physicality of that, you know. People are thinking maybe Justin might have been selfish to ask, or, you know, maybe I'm a martyr mentality to step in and do this kind of thing. And I wonder if anybody out there is thinking those kind of questions, like, why would you do this? Just don't even go there, because, I mean, we have this relationship where just from day one, we've clicked. And throughout our entire journey together, whether we're living in the same town or there was a period of time where Justin was 1,000 miles away, we pursued our friendship with extreme intention. And when you have all these shared experiences, you just kind of have this mentality of where you make each other's dreams and aspirations or just sheer moments of joy your own. You just share them. And so when Justin had this idea, I was just thinking, man, why would I not just jump in and be a part of this? Like, he's got this idea. It's crazy. Can we do it? I don't know. But let's find out. Let's jump in and figure it out. And so no hesitation at all, because I know that if the roles were switched, he would do it in a heartbeat. And the magnitude of the situation, not the request, the situation, and when people understand that there's, I mean, Justin mentioned he's in a wheelchair, the level of trust that he has to embrace to have someone like me step in and be his caregiver for 6 weeks. You know, not his wife, it's just he and I. And that's not something I'm not gonna squander that level of trust. Like, that's a gift that he's giving me, you know? And through all that, we really kind of come to this realization, there's two sides to that helping coin, you know? I mean, it's one thing for me to step in to help, but it's a whole other thing for him to say, yes, I accept that help. And so there's this constant reciprocity in our relationship of not a give and take, but just kind of a flow of love and grace and mercy and energy into the things we do. And it's those adventures like the Camino that make those things possible, that make that collaborative energy and joy. That's what brings it to life, is just jumping in and saying, yes, let's figure this out. It might be a complete crap show, but we're gonna have a lot of fun doing it. And so, yeah, no hesitation, and we just figured it out.
Yes, and I feel as though, I mean, many people can relate. I feel like a lot of people, you know, we're recording this in 2022, where we're coming off of COVID, hopefully, and there's been a lot of change and shifts in people's lives, and a lot of people are going to new companies, and I feel like a lot of the people that I work with are, like, building the plane as they're flying it type of mentality, where they just, like, say, mm-hmm. yes, like, I feel like there is this universal energy and shift right now in the world where people are kind of just committing and then figuring it out later, which I think is kind of what you guys did on your journey, which is yeah. just super inspirational and empowering for people. And I know, like I said, I saw you talk in 2018. I know the moment during your talk where you said, you know, I looked at him and said, like, will you do this with me? And you said, I'll push you. I just had goosebumps. And since then, I know you've still been speaking to audiences. And I'm just curious to know what kind of questions people come up with or resonate with you the most from the audiences that you present to. Because I feel like even presenting to an audience is kind of like a two-way street. So what has that experience been mm-hmm. like sharing your story over the past, you know, few years?
Well, you hit the nail on the head with the that two-way street. We approach it like a conversation, even though we're on stage and we're sharing stories. You're looking out in the audience, there's people that identify with Justin's struggle. There's people that identify with my struggles. There's people that kind of, you know, like if you have a Venn diagram, you know, they kind of sit in both camps. And often what happens is that people come up to us afterwards. I mean, like, that's like where the magic is. It's one thing to speak and tell a story, but when we get to sit with people afterwards and have conversations that they're wrestling with, that's just amazing. And so sometimes that happens in a Q&A afterwards. Sometimes it happens you know, in the hallways of a convention center. And there's no, it's not a narrow, narrow field of questions, but a lot of them point to either kind of the idea of purpose and that friendship, that trust, that relationship kind of thing. Those are probably the two major camps that we see where how do I affect change in the world? How do I do something that is actually worthwhile? And so often we meet the conversations, people are already doing what's worthwhile. They just don't recognize the kind of change that they're making because they just see other things. They're distracted. They're distracted from their influence, I guess. And to be able to kind of draw people back into that, like to point them to how much energy and just power they can bring to relationships if they're looking for it, what they can do, those kind of questions are great. And then drawing people into a conversation about that, like that relational aspect, looking for ways they can pursue one another with that love and that intention, and how really that's, in so many ways, that's what we need right now, right? We need more of that idea of just like, wait, I'm equipped with so many things that I can make someone else's life better, and someone can make my life better if I'll just let them in. That's the good stuff.
Yeah, it's like this whole mentality of like start with one, and then it can have this amazing trickle down effect to others or ripple effect. So Justin, kind of in the journey, I know people are going to watch the documentary as part of their homework and or read the book. So if you don't mind sharing, you know, in that experience, I know a lot of people came out and were like, what are you doing? Who are you? It's probably the first time they've ever seen somebody in a wheelchair doing this journey. So what experience was that like? Because like Patrick said, people might not realize how one act of kindness or one, you know, you guys doing that journey, how that could have affected others that have seen it along the way. So if there were any kind of highlights.
Yeah, I mean, we had, you know, on our journey, we had a lot of looks. You know, it's one thing. I mean, I'll never forget our first day right out of the gate. I mean, it's 500 miles. You know, we're, you know, bright-eyed, bushy-tailed, ready to go, 7 a.m., grabbing our breakfast at a coffee shop, and we're at the base of the Pyrenees mountain range because we had to go over three mountain ranges. The first day is the Pyrenees, and we're in this coffee shop, and the lady who was helping us, this young woman, she goes, she sees me in this kind of weird-looking off-road wheelchair device, and she says, what are you guys doing? And she said, well, he said, well, we're walking the Camino. And she looked at us, she said, no, you're not. I said, yes, we are. She said, no, you're not. We kind of went back and forth. And that was kind of the beginning of, you know, many looks and, you know, comments along the way. Mostly it was positive. I'd probably say 99.9% of it was just, can I help? Can I pitch in? Can I, you know, help this section or what do you need or whatever? And it really was eye-opening to see humanity at a great place where people just set aside their own agendas to help me and Pat, you know, get us up a certain section or whatever. And sometimes they stuck with us for, you know, a while. Sometimes it was just a few seconds and then we never saw them again. And so you know, we got a lot of just, I think we were just talking about this the other day because we're training to go back to the Camino this June. And we'll talk about that in a minute. But we get a lot of thumbs up from drivers. We get a lot of like, yays. We get a lot of like, some people would hug us. Some people would just, you know, one guy stopped us. Like he came running after us one time and said, no. We're like, what do we do? You know, whatever. And he said, go this way. Because the trail, like he saved us an immense amount of work just by like going 10 feet to the right or something like that. And so, you know, it's just a lot of those people just kind of came out of the woodworks for us. And I've traveled enough in my life that I've had many, many stories I could share with you on just on, you know, people just kind of stepping in and helping me when I need it. And it's just unfortunate to me. It's unfortunate we don't see that every day of our life. We usually see the negative stuff on the news and and all of that. And that's a whole nother conversation again, but you know, I've always loved my experience on the Camino because, you know, Pat and I just, we kind of went into it, just eyes wide, our heart open, bar set low, and we just went for it. And
is that your mission statement? That,
I mean, it's kind of like, I mean, you actually kind of touched on it just briefly, Jane, just a minute ago, where, you know, you talked about, you know, a big mantra between Pat and I is we follow why we do something, not how we do it. So it becomes more of a condition of the heart versus a condition of the mind, because you can easily jump into a journey like this and go, oh man, this has never been done before in a wheelchair. What are we going to do? And how are we going to navigate this problem? And how are we going to do that? And sometimes you just got to jump in and you just got to go for it. And we both believed in it enough to where we're going to try to the best of our ability and make it happen. And if we had, and there was a lot of pivoting along the way. I mean, day two, my wheel broke off my wheelchair. I mean, that you learned that in the movie and the book as well. And you know, you can't foresee those things. You just have to kind of address them as they come up and navigate through it, and just kind of rely on people helping you along the way. And so that's just been a big part of how we operate, is we just love following why we do it, and we kind of figure it out as we go. And it's never going to be a straight line. Life isn't that way.
Yeah.
It's curly and upwards and backwards and forwards, and sometimes you're in a valley, sometimes you're high, and sometimes you need to come alongside somebody. And you know, it's been really cool to see people resonate with literally two knuckleheads jumping into this journey, and then you know, and then how it came out is how it came out.
Yeah, it's like, be the guy that helps, that don't be it. The guy that like looks the other way.
Do
feel like it has been this like weird social experiment, if you will, as people start to like hang out with others more and go to social gatherings. Because if anything, I feel like COVID put us back in time and put people more so in their silos. And like, I just feel like that's like a really powerful message for people to have now. Totally. It's like, help out. Like, you don't need to like put your head down, like be the person that opens the door, or, yeah, like more humanity in the world, because that's what we all like miss, is that like human connection. But also, that's what I felt was one of the most heartwarming parts about your story, is seeing like the cheerleaders and the people and fans that you got along the way that just wanted to help out. Mm-hmm. So first of all, yeah. I just have to ask if I can call you Pat versus Patrick, because I feel like, great, okay. So I'm like, am I being too formal? Is he Pat? So I'm going to hand that question off to you. It's like a little spoiler alert. I was going to ask you what you plan on doing next. So it sounds like there's something in the works already.
Yeah. Well, in 2019, we took a group of individuals in wheelchairs and a blind lady. So 10 wheelchair users, a blind individual, and a bunch of helpers. And we did the last 100 plus kilometers of Camino. And so it's about, you know, 72 miles, I think, is what we did. And you know, it's just not something that's been feasible for people in wheelchairs unless there's a coordinated effort. And so what had happened is when we got back from Spain in 2014, and we had all these stories, people reaching out like, how do we do this? You know, and my brother's in a wheelchair, my mom's in a wheelchair, I'm in a wheelchair. And I gotta give credit where credit's due. It's Justin's idea. He's like, well, we should do something about this. Let's figure this out. And so what we did in 2019, we took a group. COVID has made it difficult to do additional groups since then, but we have two groups going this summer. So we're taking off in June, whatever, doing two trips back to back. So we have two groups of seven wheelchair users and some other disabilities that are thrown in there, and then a bunch of people just stepping in. And it's kind of going back to that why statement, Justin, that you mentioned earlier, and your talk of people build the plane while they're flying it. It makes me think about that, what the Camino did for us, and I think what COVID has done for a lot of people as well, because it's forced us to slow down, and certain distractions have been, you know, pushed away. You know, if you look for it, you're going to find it. You know, you look for the negativity, you're going to find it. And a lot of people are looking for just better ways to to engage with society, I think, you know, and it's encouraging. Mm-hmm. Like, those are the kind of people that are jumping into this journey, right? The ones who signed up to push, that they want to make something that an individual never would have been able to do on their own. They want to make it possible. And so we're super excited to be a part of this group of individuals that are making essentially a dream come true for somebody. It's pretty tough not to get super, super amped about that.
Yeah.
So that's what we're
doing. It's pretty awesome. I mean, doing our first Camino was a monumental effort, was insanely difficult, but we had a blast doing it. And then being able to go back in 2019 again, take people with disabilities as our first group and see the Camino unfold in front of their eyes was, man, I didn't really, again, kind of going with the bar low, like I didn't really know what to expect. I just was like, okay, we're going to go for this. And people knew that they're, you know, we're going to do it together. We're going to work on it. And we're going to have some bumps in the road. Like literally we're going to have some bumps in the road, but you know, it's just to see us coming into the square after, you know, 6 days of walking, you know, 70 miles, 70 plus miles, and just to see the hugs and the tears flowing and all that. I was like, I was like, oh my gosh, totally worth all the effort to do this. And we're so excited to get back to June, you know, this June, because we've had some people have waited, 3.5 years to join us. So it's been a 2-year hiatus, which has not been wanted by anybody's means, anybody's wishes. But, you know, it's great to be, I mean, to be able to go back to Spain. And then, you know, as Patrick and I have been, you know, kicking off 2022, we've had some live speaking events, had a couple virtual ones we've done, but just to be with people again is, oh my gosh, like I didn't realize how sweet it is to just be in a room full of, you know, 500,000 people or whatever, and just to talk and just you can, the energy, you know, just how much I had missed that. And it's just been, it's been awesome to finally kind of be in a room with people again. And you know, of course, everyone has to be safe and all of those, and I get that. And we're gonna, you know, I think as the industry rebounds, it's gonna take a little bit to kind of get there, but it is a really great sign that events are happening and that people are wanting to be back together again, which is just a testament of just humans. Like, we just need to be with one another, and lean on each other and be there for one another, and how much we can accomplish if we are
totally together. I think I'm so excited about your journey in June, and if there's a way that you're fundraising, I would love to be able to support that. So you'll have to let me know if there is, and I can share it with people to kind of help with the journey, and to cheer you on remotely. I don't know how far the Camino is from Barcelona, but I feel like my brother needs to go cheer you on from the sideline, because him and his wife live over there. But my geography is not great.
But we'll both be actually bouncing through Barcelona after our Caminos with our families. So
yeah, I'm excited to go there.
Yes, you should. I'll sponsor that.
Go for a drink or something.
Yeah. I will help you have a glass of sangria in Barcelona.
Yeah. You know, if anybody is interested, they can just go to accessiblecamino.com. Cool. And that's a really great, there's a video there that shows what we've done, and our groups are sold out, which has just been a blessing to see the response for that. But we are looking at going back in 2023. We're kind of gauging how this one goes this summer to see if two of them is a good idea or not a good idea. We will find out. But you know, I know that we're both kind of in that camp right now where it's a piece of what we do that is able to give back, but also is a wonderful thing, for us to continue sharing the message and doing what we get to do. So it's kind of a win-win in all aspects. So we kind of look at that way.
Amazing. We have to wrap things up, but before we do, I want to ask you both, when you think of, so the name of this podcast is Project Happy Place, and the whole purpose is that people don't need to like take a vacation to go to their happy place. It can just be things that you do in your daily life that kind of bring you back and center you or just give you energy. And it sounds like one of the things in Justin's happy place is the beach and maybe a margarita. So I'll let you start and then hand it off to Pat to describe to us what happy place means to you.
Yeah, you know, I'll go very quickly. I got three. So number one is Hawaii. Hawaii is like my happy place. Like that's my home away from home. I've been there many, many times over the years and I've been very blessed to go there. So it's kind of like my place where I get to just recharge, and that's a happy place for me. The other place is actually here, and Patrick and I live in Idaho, just outside of Boise in Eagle. And there's a mountain community called McCall, Idaho. And it's, there's this lake that's right there. It's beautiful. And there's this park that's called Ponderosa State Park. And there's a beach kind of park. Well, you call it a beach, like a beach recreational area, right? Pat, is that what you call it?
Yeah.
And it's one of my happy places during the summertime, just going up there, being underneath the evergreens, you know, watching my kids swim in the lake, and just being there with my friends and my family or my wife and I, just kind of hanging out. That's another happy place. And my third happy place is being with my friends, like, you know, Pat and his wife. We have a kind of a life friend group that we are always together with, and just to be together and to support one another and, you know, drink a glass of wine and hang out, and we have lots of laughs and we talk about hearts things. We have a great time together. That's kind of another happy place for me. It's a good, great time during the average week where we get together and nice. Get to recharge. So
good.
That's
good
it for me.
Ones. All right.
Yeah. For me, it's not so much about the location. It's people. I love stories. I've always loved stories. I'm kind of a storyteller at heart. That's what I get to do for a living, you know, is tell stories. And when someone trusts you with their story, you know, when they invite you into, well, it's a struggle, and it's weird because happiness and pain can exist at the same time. Joy and struggle can exist at the same time. And so being trusted and invited into someone's journey or story in some way, shape or form, that just fills me up. And to ultimately see someone, either the light bulb go off or have them actually share overcoming a struggle of some sort, like I get so much joy out of that. And so I think my happy place for me is when I get to like look someone in the eyeballs and hear their story. That just, I cannot, like I do almost get emotional, like just thinking about all the people I've met over the past, you know, 6-7 years, same for Justin. We've met so many people and they've shared their stories, and it's just you look at someone who's overcome something or who is facing something that's so daunting, and yet they are filled with life and vigor, and like how can you not just be filled with
that?
Yeah,
it's kind of like the end of a meeting or an event where like you guys speak, it just like bottling up the energy in the room, and that's what I love. I mean, I don't know. I feel like my happy place is probably what I do, but that can also at times be my unhappy place. Yeah.
At least you're honest.
It's not a straight road, as you said. Well, thank you so much for being on this podcast. I was so excited to reconnect with you both because it had been a while, and I'm so excited to share your story with others. Yes. And I'm excited as well to see you follow your journey in June. And I feel like one of the nuggets I love from this is the, you know, if you'll look for it, you'll find it, because that to me like really resonates with, you know, the whole idea of this like vision. So I've been doing vision boards for the past few years, and I really do truly find that like when you put it out there in the universe, even physically with these vision boards, things just start to come to fruition, and it's really beautiful. And then people will text me and say, my vision board is like coming to life, and I'm like, that's not by accident, that is purposeful living. And it's really nice to see.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
But that first step is you have to take a leap of faith, right? You have to jump out there and be like, all right,
let's
cool,
do it.
You gotta
figure
go
it out later.
So, that's awesome. figure it out.
Thank you both again for joining. And I am super excited for the rest of this season of the Project Happy Place podcast, having on similar guests such as Justin and Pat. And stay tuned for the next episode. Thank you for joining this week's episode of the podcast. It was a really beautiful conversation and a wonderful way to reconnect with Justin and Pat. I'm glad that you were able to listen and be here. And one of the things that Pat said that resonates with me the most is that if you look for it, you're going to find it. So with that in mind, I would encourage you to keep a positive spin and lens on things. And it will, only encourage more positivity in this universe. So thanks again for joining, and look forward to our next episode of the Project Happy Place podcast.